There are songs that stand the test of time. There are songs that continue to be relevant no matter what month, year, decade we're in. And Queen was always very good at writing songs that you can apply to pretty much any situation for any person at any time. There are many songs in their catalog that would fall into that category. And this is just one of those songs today. We are actually kicking off side two of Queen's album, The Works, released in 1984, their 11th album. And we are kicking off side two in a very interesting way. This is probably, despite the repetition in this song, it's probably one of their most experimental because the structure is very unique. The chord progressions are unique. We have some interesting sort of enigmatic elements of keys here that leave us lingering between major and minor, actually. So this surprised me when I went through this song. And this song also has the honor of being the song that my mom liked the most when I took her to see Queen and Adam Lambert in 2019. We went to go see them. It was an amazing time. It was fabulous. And when we were leaving, she was saying, gosh, I really liked that song, that one song. And of course, I'm sitting there going through some of the biggies, you know, and she's like, no. She said it was a different one. And I was trying to remember songs that they played that weren't as well known. And this song happened to be one that they'd never really played live ever. So this was the first time on that tour in 2019, that was the first time they had played it in its entirety. And I knew that going into the concert, but it's not something that stayed at the forefront of my mind. So I'm sitting there with my mom trying to figure out this song. And I was literally playing songs on my iPod, trying to jog her memory. And this was probably the last one I got to. And she goes, that's it. And she said, I really liked that song. And I was very surprised. I was very surprised, actually. And I am talking about Machines or Back to Humans. Machines or Back to Humans. A lot to say about this song. A lot to say about it because here's the thing. Like I said, it's very relevant to today. This is one of the songs in Queen's catalog that is, I think, most relevant today because of its content. What we're talking about here. The title says it all, Machines or Back to Humans. I want to talk about the title too. Why do we have the or in there? Because Machines and then parenthesis or Back to Humans, close parenthesis. I don't understand that because the parenthesis, they pretty much make the word and or. They function that way. So why do we need the word or? It should have just been Machines, Back to Humans in parentheses, but I digress. I feel the or is redundant. It's unnecessary. It's a little bit clunky in that title, but hey, I'm not the guys. So Machines or Back to Humans. And as the title suggests, this is a struggle. This is a power struggle between humanity and machine. And part of the reason Queen did this was because machines were becoming more and more of a fixture in the production of music at that time. And it started years before 1984. But at this point, the guys are, of course, they dived deep into more, I don't want to say digital, but more synthesized work with the previous album, Hot Space. And of course, here, they actually pulled back on those reins a little bit, but they're still implementing those sounds into their work. And they're recognizing that as a whole, machines, the synthesized sound, digital is starting to make its way into the industry. So this was their little bit of a nod to that, but they're also recognizing that in their own work and within the world at large, I assume, the human is still very much needed and necessary, and there's this struggle that's already starting. And I find it very interesting that here we are talking about this song right now, and as we talk about it, so much is happening in the world of AI, and I just did an episode about that. In fact, before I started this episode today, I went into AI, and I asked it about the process of how AI works and AI's ability to feel. And I already knew what the answers were going to be to a certain degree. I already knew what AI was going to come back and tell me. So it wasn't a big surprise. But the reason I did that was because I was looking for validation that what was written in this song back in 1984 is extremely relevant still, the way that the machine is portrayed. Okay, because we have two guys sort of on lead vocal here. Obviously, we've got Freddie at the very front, at the lead. And then we have Roger in a vocoder acting as the machine. And he's saying things. He's describing what the machines are and what they do. And I wanted to confirm that what he said in those lyrics is still, it's still relevant, it still makes sense, and it does. And that's the universal appeal, the applicable nature of this song to this moment in time right now with artificial intelligence surging at the forefront and once again threatening jobs and people in people's biggest fears, the world, and this worry that it's going to take over. So this song is very, very good to talk about right now in that regard, machines or back to humans. We're dive number 124 today. This is track 5. And as I said, we're kicking off side 2 of the works. This is a very rare collaboration between Roger and Brian. I think the only other time this happened was on Flash Gordon, right? This is Roger and Brian. Collaborative song effort. Never happens. Probably because the guys butt heads all the time was a primary reason. But here, they came together to make the song. And I think it's a really good mix because we have the kind of new wave experimental approach that Roger sometimes liked to take. And then we have the very hard rock elements of Brian. And together, it's this wonderful energy. It's very intense. There's a tension. I like it. This new wave rock number. And it was the B-side to I Want to Break Free, which was released April 2nd of 84 in the UK and April 13th of 84 in the US. We're at 112 beats per minute, time signature of 4/4, and the keys of G major, G minor. And as I said, there's an interesting contrast between those two throughout this song that seems to stretch through the entirety of the song. And of course, the topic is they're taking over, or so it seems, right? We can relate to that, absolutely, right now. Machines. Of course, everybody's talking about how to use AI technology, not to feel threatened by it, but how to use it. And I think that's a good approach to take. I think you need to be aware, and I think understanding how to use it as a benefit is extremely helpful, not just professionally, but to be personally aware. But let's dive back into machines or back to humans. This is very Bowie in its tone, actually, with those very rich vocal harmonies that pop in and out. The Fairlight sampler, which was not entirely a new thing. We heard that back in the 70s, but this is more and more obvious, a process for creating music. Roger's vocoded, is that a word? Vocoded performance. Machines balances that hard rock, those power chords with a vague experimental song structure. And given this unconventional structure, it feels like a rarity, especially for Roger, who is typically more predictable and when it comes to arrangement, more square. It implements the machine sounds heavily, playing on the song's message. And despite its small impact on fans, who often seem to forget about this completely, it's absolutely packed with surprising motifs, chords, transitions, mixolydian. Ooh, mixolydian, that flatted seventh, parallel and non-parallel harmonies, 3+3+2 rhythmic patterns, and even more complexity. Those enigmatic key structures that leave us dangling, lingering between major, minor. It's a surprisingly complex piece. Programmed and real drums blend in the mix. That was a common approach at this time, cross-fading into each other. A tactic used more and more as the boys lean into synthesizers and modern programming. Beyond the arrangement, the performances are top-notch. Freddie's voice is in prime form as he duets with himself throughout, as well as the vocoder performance from Raj. Brian provides rounded, warm backing vocals. Roger growls into that vocoder as the machine itself. And of course, we get some absolutely stunning instrumental performances with Brian's riffs echoing earlier numbers like Tie Your Mother Down and the bluesier Fat Bottom Girls. Roger with the heavy pounding drums, especially as we get towards the end. Can't forget about Disco Deaky and his bass glory. All in all, a fun, energetic, and striking number that's still incredibly and entirely relevant. I can't say that enough. I will say it probably five more times before I'm finished. Relevance, 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 this song, Machines or Back to Humans. This was technically played, quote unquote, 25 times in 84, but not really. This song was played from the tape to introduce the concert before the guys would burst in on stage. Hello, tear it up. Tear it up. That's what they did. They would introduce the tour set list with this song playback, and then they would jump out onto the stage, quite literally with Tear It Up, before diving into another rousing number. So it doesn't really count, sadly, to say that this was played 25 times, even though it's recorded as such. But as I said, they did play this live with Adam Lambert beginning in 2019. And of course, it was my mom's favorite song that night. And that still blows my mind, but I will forever and always have that sentimental value in this song because she enjoyed it so much. I think she really liked the modulation that comes towards the end, that subtle, if brief, modulation. I do have some fun facts for Machines or Back to Humans. The idea for the song began with Roger. I imagine the topic was probably something that he was fiddling around with, and Brian joined to contribute and finish it. The instrumental remix of this song, which I don't think is particularly rare, but I hadn't heard it until recently. So that tells you it's not something that's jumping out of their catalog, and it's not something you would probably even think to look up, but there is an instrumental remix of this. It samples parts of Ogre Battle from Queen 2, Flash, and Larry Lurex's Going Back. And of course, Going Back was not written by, but is most associated with Dusty Springfield. And Larry Lurex, which is in fact not, it's Queen without John under a pseudonym. And I talked about that ages and ages ago. Trident Studios was working on a music project while Queen was recording their debut. And so Freddie, under the pseudonym and along with Brian and Raj, performed Going Back. An interesting little sidebar that they did while they were at Trident. And when you listen to it, it is, of course, if you've heard that song, which has been done by many, and of course, look up Dusty Springfield's lovely version, it's not at all very Queen-like. It's very melodic. It's very laid back. It's much more soulful. Not that Queen wasn't ever soulful, but it has a little bit more of that relaxed ballad poppy element. And it's actually quite lovely when you hear it. I've heard only a very rough mix of that song. Very rough. It phases in and out of the different speakers on the left and the right. It's almost impossible to understand Freddie at times. But he sounds wonderful for being early Freddie. And I think the performances are lovely. But going back to Machines or Back to Humans in this remix that incorporates these very interesting sounds in here, I don't know why they did it that way. Because honestly, the instrumental without these added elements of Ogre Battle and beyond would have been perfectly fine. But obviously they thought without the vocals in there, it needed something else. It needed more meat. It needed more interest. And maybe they were just experimenting and sampling. After all, sampling was becoming more of a thing in the early 80s. I don't know the reasoning, if they were just playing around. It sounds odd to me, though. If you listen to it, maybe I'll link to it. It sounds odd, especially the Ogre Battle portion. And I love Ogre Battle. I remember talking about it. I was so enthusiastic about the gong at the end, way back when. But within this song, it just doesn't seem to... It loses its context. It doesn't make any sense. And even though Ogre Battle is also about a battle, albeit it's not a machines to humans battle. It's ogres and people, presumably. It just doesn't seem to work. But you can go listen to it. Go check it out. I encourage you to. Even if I'm not a fan of something, I'm always like, hey, go enjoy it. Go listen to it. It is nice to hear this song, Machines Are Back to Humans, otherwise, in the instrumental form and structure. And you can really get a feel for the transitions between the digital, those program drums to the live drums. You get to hear Brian's guitar at the forefront. Really almost sounds like a voice itself, which we've mentioned many times before because Brian is just so good at it. Speaking of Brian, he and I think I only have comments from him and Raj, I think. But I have quite a bit, so sit back, grab your water or your coffee or your drink of choice and go through this with me. I have some comments. So Brian, BBC Radio 1 in March of 84. It's always nice to find comments from the guys in the moment that the album or the song is dropped. It's retrospective it's nice, but it's not as nice as having contemporary reviews that were done at the time or interviews that were done at the time. So this was actually from March of 84. And Brian said, we sort of got down to talking about the relationship between machines and humans. You can hear the guitar player screaming in the background, getting demolished by a synthesizer. You can hear the real drums kick in halfway through Machines and demolish the track. And you can hear a synthesized voice and a real voice. And it's a little battle going there. The Machines track is this kind of experimental end of this album, which is probably why I like it. And I think, if anything, that encapsulates a direction which we might explore more, because you have these two camps in music at the moment. And I think one of the interesting things which is going on in popular music is the sorting out the human element versus the new machine music. You have this very clear definition between these two groups, and it doesn't need to be that way. I think you need both, to be honest. There are two kinds of things. The business of painting a picture in the studio with a number of tracks, I think, is equally interesting. Unquote. And Brian, again, in 84, in Sounds, elaborated more, quote, we've also integrated some of the more modern technologies like drum machines, and we've dabbled with the Fairlight, but we haven't gone totally toward making machine music, because the fact is, we don't like it. The human element is very important, unquote. Emphasis, the human element. Now, Roger, in Modern Drummer in October of 84, quote, basically, it starts off where everything's electronic drums, everything. And what you have is the human rock band sort of crashing in. What you wind up with is a battle between the two, unquote. And Roger, again, in KLOS FM, 1984, quote, I enjoyed that. I wrote that one with Brian, in fact. Brian wanted to make it a battle between the human side by using the real drums and guitars, etc., and a totally synthetic side. The machines, you know, the drum machines and the synthesizers and the Fairlights. So the thing is meant to be a battle between the two, with the idea of basically going back to humans, unquote. I love that he tacks that on at the end there, with the idea of going back to humans. And that's literally how the song closes, back to humans. He just tacks that on. To the point, Roger, to the point, always. I do have a little bit of commentary from press, but only a bit. A bit of how dare they, a bit of praise, not much. Sandy Robertson, we've talked about Sandy before, back from Sounds, calling this, quote, spurious social comment, unquote. If you're not familiar with the term spurious, it's fake, forged, bogus, inauthentic, et cetera, et cetera. Spurious social comment, which I find very interesting, because either Sandy didn't have the feeling that machines were beginning to surge forward in popularity, or simply didn't care. Because I think it's dare I say, foolish to say that this kind of song would be a fake, forged, bogus, inauthentic social comment. Or Sandy is simply implying that the guys didn't mean it when they were making the statement that at least for them, the human being is the more important part. Maybe Sandy felt that this song was simply a means to create conflict and create some sort of controversial statement. So the guys did this as a means to generate interest and to generate sales, etc. Maybe that's what Sandy was speaking to, not the message itself, that there's this battle of sorts back and forth between machines and human beings. And I talked about that when I talked about AI. This goes back centuries, thousands of years. We could go way back to the moment the wheel was invented, and there were probably people at the time going, this thing is going to destroy us. So this goes back forever. There's always been that sentiment that machines, inventions are going to take over. And of course, now it's at the forefront of our minds again as we dive into this new world of AI creation. In fact, there are lyrics in this song, living in the new world. I think that's it. Living in the new world. How are you going to last? Talk about relevancy. What did I say? Totally relevant. I do have a little bit of praise. People Weekly called this an ode to computer culture, which I think is pretty cool, actually, because they're recognizing that, okay, the guys are embracing machines in their production, but they're also, they're balancing it with a healthy dose of what they're known to do best. But People Weekly still said, hey, this is a really cool computer culture pop piece. And I like that. But you know what? Fans are generally silent on this, sleeping on it. Crickets. I don't read a thing from fans about machines or back to humans. Either way, I don't see people praising it. I don't see people picking it apart. People just don't talk about this. I think it's because the experimental nature of this, that lack of, it's not even as hummable or easy to memorize. There are some motifs here that are repeated in a way that kind of gets your foot tapping and you hum along, but it's missing those classic elements of singability and memorableness, being something that sticks. I think that quality is missing here, and it's sad because there's a lot of interesting developments of sound here. There's a lot of interesting experimentation. But I don't read anything about this from fans. I don't read anything about it. I was looking for anyone to chime in. I was even looking for negativity because I just wanted to talk about that, but I couldn't find any. So I think this is an often forgotten track in Queen's catalog, but I'm hoping that as I speak about it now and the relevancy it has, and especially the interesting lyrics, which we're going to go through in detail, and honestly, they're sung in such a way from Freddie that I had to go look at this song and read it multiple times because I didn't realize that's what he was singing. And I thought, that's brilliant. How could I miss that the first time? How could I miss it? So let's kick it off. The breakdown, the nitty-gritty of machines or back to humans. A very mechanical four-count intro accompanied by a plucked G-string that also sounds futuristic. There's a lot of harmonics in here. Electronic snares join a 3+3+2 guitar pattern, a motif we'll hear often in this number, appears. Power chord progressions, G5, G4. Bass rings out, tonic octaves, seemingly random, alongside the synthesized tumbling bass synths that drive and persist. Roger appears. Machines, all electrified and alien-like. Elliot. I've been saying that. Reference to E.T. forever. Anyway, Elliot. Brian gets fluttery, bends his notes, distortion heavy as he drops out his guitar momentarily. This all seems so random, but it's incredibly calculated. We're creating a world, a machine's world. The synths, dance, bop, blip everywhere. Even Brian's guitar sounds more programmed, less soulful. It's very intentional. I love that he's thinking about that approach as he plays throughout this song. The mechanical emphasis is in full force, and we're still not certain if we're in major or minor as we go through this. But falling into place, literally down the scale, two power chords flit us into the verse with a crash of cymbals and a growl from our machine. It's a machine's world. Freddie harmonizing in mixolydian mode. Don't tell me I ain't got no soul. Notice the snares in the back, that pop echo in the kick after the strike on beat two. It's not always there, but again, it's calculated, appearing to provide color and intention. A crash and a knocking as though the machine permeates. When the machines take over, it ain't no place for rock and roll. The syncopation and the kick, the bass drum. Nice variations and surprises. They tell me I don't care. Freddie, wow, the aggression. And we linger on this power chord, this flash of cymbals and John's dense bass. They freeze me, they bomb me, they squeeze me, they stress me. Let's talk about what computers do to us a little bit in this chorus. This chorus of sorts. Brian's guitar chords echoing the intro and the harmony unison with Freddie's sung melodies. And Freddie's intention, great, intense, full of conviction. Roger's real drums finally arrive in dramatic fashion as the chord rises a full step along with Fred's voice. The bass is fabulous here. Those accent notes at the end of each phrase. But no one can wrest me away. Back to humans. Freddie's screams are impressive. Brian rounds that final phrase as it echoes away. After this fantastic resolution with cymbals, loud crashes, we fall into Roger's vocoded voice again in Aeolian mode. I love saying that. Parallel minor key, moving in surprising shifts of tone. This is both interesting and creative, and I wonder if it was Roger's doing. The moving blips, the bleeps, and those arpeggios are unpredictable and magical. One of these synth lines continues to rise, an arrangement I just recently noticed in contrast with Roger's machine voice. We never cry. We never retreat. We have no conception of love or defeat. How relevant and disturbing is that? Remember what I was talking about? The things that Roger was saying as the machine? This is the kind of stuff I was looking for. I was looking for, yes, there is no emotion in AI. There can't be. It cannot feel. A lot of syncopation in that performance from our drummer. This next verse is not like the first. What's the machine noise? It's bites and mega chips for tea. An appropriate British reference and a clever one. Tea. Much more guitar here. Powerful as we expect. The chords have shifted. It's the machine boys with random access memory. What a lovely reference to RAM. Terrifies me how much I feel that statement too. The next phrase, here's everyone pounding in unison heavily. Drums, cymbals, guitar, bass, Freddie, all of the emphasis. And into the next chorus is a kickoff from Raj that I adore. Louder, stronger, scarier as Freddie continues comparing humanity against machine. Its sex life is quantized. It's self-perpetuating. Parahumanoid Orionized? Is that how you say that? I have to listen to it like five times in the song because I can't sing it. I can barely say it. But those lyrics, again, so clever, reminds me of Radiohead, Paranoid Android, and the layered back to humans vocal harmonies. Wow. Hello, Brian. Roger chimes in again, multiple times. Machines. We drift into a dreamy, almost trance-like shuffle. And I love the percussion in the back. Living in a new world, how you gonna last? Freddie is distant, reverbed heavily, deep in thought. And I love that glissando from Freddie and Brian's guitar. A dissonant note apart. I can jive to this section. It's a great running soundtrack. And Brian appears in front of Freddie's improvised brilliance as his Red Special layers and loudens and rocks out. Bluesy almost. We've heard that motif through parts of the song, and it's just more emphasized here. John's bass is brilliant back there, even as he pounds out the tonic repeatedly. Brian almost has a solo here. The synths sparkle, rise, and the deeper ones pound. The guitar bounces from left to right as an echo of human brilliance at work. Back to Humans appears as humanity dominates. Roger's drums get louder. You notice that? Back to Humans! This harmonized ending is so pleasant. That reverb. Back to Humans! It just fades. And then we get Freddie continues to wonder. Living in a new world, how you gonna last? But the brightness of that major chord resolution, it's so satisfying at the end. And that, ladies and gents, is Machines or Back to Humans. Go check out that instrumental. It is interesting, a little bizarre with those added elements of other songs, but I think it does emphasize just how much we have this battle and this tension of digitized program sound against the more organic human sound, especially of Brian's guitar. His guitar is definitely a highlight here. And I love saying that because we've had a lot of moments the last album or two where Brian as a guitarist is not so prominently featured. But on this track, despite the emphasis of Machine and Man, we're getting a lot of Brian here. Brian May, man. Moody May. I love that man. But that is Machines or Back to Humans, the first song on the second side of Queen's 11th album, The Works, released in 1984. Go check it out. Of course, the next song is kind of a biggie. It's a biggie, and I freely admit I have not started my major research on it yet, so there's a lot to cover there. I already know a lot about it. I'm sure you guys do, too. And I could do a lot of it from pure memory, and I could dive right in right now, but we'll save that for next time. In the meantime, keep yourselves alive. Have a wonderful day, evening, dead of night. Enjoy it as the sun rises again. And we turn around once more as we continue our little annual trip around the sun. All right, guys. Enjoy. Stay cool out there if you're in the midst of summer. I know I hate saying those kinds of things because it dates my episodes, and I want you to listen to these anytime, even if it's in the cold of winter. Have a good one, guys.